I hope your heart's desire is to worship our Savior, Jesus Christ. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. I'm going to be very transparent with you this evening. Over these past few weeks, I have grown increasingly concerned about our nation, and especially these past few days. I'm not going to beat around the bush about it either. I have taken some time to watch, listen to some of the Senate Judiciary Committee hearings that have been going on and to the allegations brought against the Supreme Court nominee, and I have found them to be very distasteful, to say the very least. Friends, our nation is in a mess, and we should be concerned as believers in Jesus Christ about what is going on in our nation. But I've got to be honest with you tonight. I try to be honest with you every time I preach, I guess. That's one of those things that you say that really doesn't mean anything. We were out to eat with Keith Aldis on Wednesday and went to Olive Garden. And this will actually fit right in with the message tonight, actually, Brother Keith. If you've ever been to Olive Garden, you know often the server comes to you with one of their wines and offers you a wine sample. And he asked us if we wanted to sample whatever he had. And, typically I'll just say, no, no, thank you, whatever. But for whatever reason, I said, no, not this time. Was just because Keith was there, so no. I don't know. In fact, while he was still standing there, I laughed and I looked at Stephanie. I said, I have no idea why I added that last part. That's just the way it happens sometimes. So I try to be honest with you every time I preach. I really do. But now that we've gotten past that part, as concerned as I am for our nation, even more concerning to me is the overwhelming response to all of it that I've seen from Christians. Even those in full-time vocational ministry to all of it. I don't know, and nor do you, the truth about what all has been, the allegations that have been brought, the ones that haven't, we don't know the truth of it all. We certainly ought to pray that the truth will come to the light. Amen. And God has the ability and the power to do that. But if we're looking to the Senate or politics for our hope for this nation, as I watched all that was going on, there were problems on both sides of the bench, not just one or the other. And it's concerning. But when I see believers just wholeheartedly and with all of the fiber of their being throwing their weight behind one party just because their platform was more in line with what we believe than the other, with no concern about the lives that those are living as well, that's a problem. Amen. And so I just got to share my burden with you tonight. And I'll tell you what struck me when the allegations first came out wasn't so much, okay, who's telling the truth and who's not. Not that that's not important, it is. But that wasn't the first thing that struck me. The first thing that struck me was this thought. What a reminder of what the Bible teaches about the consequences of alcohol. That was the first thing that struck me, that came to my attention. The Bible has quite a lot to say. And if you've been watching what's going on with even this particular situation, and yes, it's this current issue that has kind of brought this to the forefront of my mind and that the Lord has burdened me with it, you've had to recognize, you've had to, that all of this could have been avoided on both sides. And I'm not talking Republican, Democrat, I'm talking him and her. Had they followed the Bible principles about alcohol? Because the Bible has quite a lot to say about alcohol. The Bible has quite a lot to say about being at parties and carousing where alcohol is present and used. Has a lot to say about it. And so tonight, I want to bring us to Proverbs 23, and I want to preach a message entitled Getting Wise About Alcohol. I imagine that most of us, if not all of us in here, you're probably where I am as far as a stand on alcohol. But friend, it's not just important to know where we stand, it's important to know why we stand where we stand. And so tonight I want to take you to the scriptures and show you why we take the stand we do about alcohol. You say, Pastor, actually I'm not sure what your stand is. Well, Olive Garden, no, not this time, was a genuine slip of the tongue, okay? I have never tried alcohol, never had a desire to, as far as I know, never will have a desire to. I believe that the best stand, I have a conviction about it, is total abstinence from alcohol. All right? Warren Wiersbe had this to say. It's a long quote, but listen. He says, thanks to worldwide media coverage and the constant pressure for higher program ratings, sin has become an important part of international entertainment. Evil activities that we ought to be weeping over are now sources of entertainment. They are vividly displayed on movie and TV screens and are discussed in depth in newspapers and magazines. The all-seeing camera moves us into the bedroom, the barroom, and the courtroom and enables excited viewers to enjoy sin vicariously. Movies and TVs are instructing generation after generation of children how to ridicule virginity, laugh at sobriety, challenge authority, and reject honesty. Actors, actresses, and advertisers have convinced us that having fun, feeling good, and getting away with it are now the main goals of life. And we need to be very cautious. Proverbs, of course, is the book of wisdom, and it contains some valuable information concerning the particular issue of alcohol. And perhaps the most complete passage in the Bible on the subject is the passage we are going to consider tonight in Proverbs 23, verses 29 through 35. Notice what the Bible says. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, and as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Would you pray with me this evening? Father, as we take time to look to the Word of God tonight in a message that is focused on doctrine, teaching to show us what we believe and why we believe it. Lord, I ask tonight that you would help our hearts, our ears, our minds to be open. Lord, some of us, most of us likely, if not all of us, have this stand, but we need to know why we stand where we stand. Perhaps there are some who struggle with this issue. Lord, there are some young people here tonight who perhaps have grown up in homes where alcohol is not present, and maybe they wonder why and wonder what the big deal is. Lord, I pray tonight that you would teach all of us, and that we would come to a place of having a right biblical conviction from the Word of God. And we'll praise and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to see just two thoughts in this passage with me tonight. First, the command regarding alcohol abuse. The command regarding alcohol abuse. As we come to Proverbs 23, verses 29 through 35, this passage of Scripture focuses on the consequences of alcohol, which we'll get to in a little while, especially excessive abuse of alcohol. However, there is one command in this passage, and it's that command found in verse 31. And notice what the command is. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. This passage gives a clear command to avoid even looking at wine. There's a clear allusion to the temptation that it has to the eyes, in recognition that one of the characteristics that makes up everything that is in the world is the lust of the eyes. Remember 1 John 2:15 and 16 talks about that. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And so here, the writer tells us not even to look at the wine, recognizing that it is a temptation, it has a draw to the eyes. You know, this seems so straightforward, doesn't it? It seems clear, and yet there is contention about this issue. Not contention just among believers and unbelievers. One of the things that caught my attention even during these hearings was how often people talked about, you know, when you were in high school and college, most if not everybody did it. I don't know, I never did. But it's true, there's a lot of people. But it's not just a contention between believers and unbelievers, friends. There's a contention among believers about the use of alcohol. There are those who believe that alcoholic beverages should never be consumed, while there are those who believe that alcoholic beverages may be consumed in moderation. And again, I want to share with you from the Word of God why it is my firm conviction, based on the principles of the Bible, that alcoholic beverages should be completely abstained from. It's my desire, again, that we not only understand what our stand is, but why our stand is what it is. The truth is, I cannot in one message answer every question or argument that this subject produces. But I will give some Bible principles that will enable us to stand firmly in this area. We'll go to some other passages of Scripture. They'll be on the screen, or you can turn in your Bibles. The first is Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. As we seek just to establish some Bible principles that lead me to have a firm conviction that I should totally abstain from alcoholic consumption. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." Here's something I learned from the Word of God about alcoholic beverages. And that is that it is deceptive. By the way, who is behind all of the deception that's in the world? Satan is. Don't miss that. The Bible says wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. There is a deception that comes along with it. What does this deception lead to? Isaiah 28 and verse 7. "But they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment." The prophet Isaiah, and if you go back even to Isaiah chapter 5, where he pronounces 6 woes upon the nation of Israel, 2 of the woes had to do with their consumption of alcohol. He pronounced a woe upon them simply for those who went after strong drink. And then he pronounced a woe upon the nation of Israel for those who went after strong drink, specifically carousing in crazy parties. He pronounced woes upon them for that. Now here in Isaiah 28, the prophet Isaiah speaks about how the priests and the prophets, those who were religious leaders, those who were or should have been men of God, had erred through their consumption of alcohol. They erred in their vision and they stumbled in judgment. They were out of the way, the Bible says. They had made a mistake in vision. And they had pronounced wrong judgments through or because of their consumption of wine and strong drink. Here's what Hosea chapter 4 verse 11 says, "Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart." Now don't miss what that verse says. Whoredom and wine are put on the same level as it relates to the ability of each one to take away the heart. Now, what does God's word tell me that I should do in relation to my heart? To guard it, to keep it. Now, I don't know about you, but if wine takes away my heart, that it only makes sense that I should guard my heart from it. Doesn't that make sense to you? Sure does. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1 again. The Bible says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, whosoever is deceived," there's a deception attached to wine, but notice, "whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." Now here's what the Bible says, wine is deceiving, it's deceptive, and the person who is deceived by it is not what? Wise. Now, the Bible speaks frequently about wisdom, doesn't it? Does God want us to be wise or not? He wants us to be wise, doesn't he? So if being deceived by wine and strong drink shows a lack of wisdom, then not being deceived is an evidence that I have wisdom. Isn't that true? Sure is. God wants me to be wise. If you go to the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 5, these issues are connected. Now, yes, in Ephesians chapter 5, the context is the filling of the Spirit, and Paul uses drunkenness as a contrast. But yet, as you go to Ephesians chapter 5, and you take this thought and see that application in that text, it makes wonderful sense. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 18. "See then that you walk circumspectly," what? "Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Again, the context is the filling of the Spirit. And Paul could have used anything as the contrast there. The truth is, we are not to be controlled by anything, but by the Spirit of God. If we give control of our lives to anything, be it alcoholic beverages or whatever it may be, other than the Spirit of God, we're in the wrong. We ought to be controlled by the Spirit of God. But yet it's interesting, it grabs my attention, that just like Proverbs does, there's a connection by the comparison that Paul uses between wisdom and alcohol. Isn't there? God wants me to walk circumspectly in wisdom and not unwisely as a fool does. What does Proverbs 20 verse 1 say? "They that are deceived by wine and strong drink are not what? Wise." So what does wisdom tell you then about avoiding the deception of wine and strong drink? Wisdom tells me to avoid it altogether. How would you practice keeping your heart so that it is not taken away by wine? I would submit to you that it is done by taking the road possible. And that is the road described in Proverbs 23 when the writer says, don't even look upon it. Don't even mess with it. Don't dabble with it. Don't try to find out about it. You don't have to give it a try. You don't have to give it a taste, a sip. You don't have to practice with it to see if you can control yourself and only partake in it in moderation. It's common sense that if you don't stick your hand in the fire, you won't get what? Burned. That's common sense. In the same way, you will never become a drunkard if you don't try alcohol to begin with. I have never known anyone to become a drunkard who didn't take a drink to begin with, but I have known some who became drunkards because they tried one drink. Yes, there are arguments and questions that people have in relation to this subject. But I believe the Bible is clear. The best road to take is the highest road. And the highest road is abstain from alcohol completely. I'm not berating or beating up anybody. It's just what's in our minds and on our hearts. Can you imagine how different these hearings would have been if he could have gone into them and said, I've never had alcohol. I've never been at parties where alcohol was served or consumed. How different it could have been. Let's look at the consequences of alcohol abuse. In Proverbs 23, again, that's the maximum portion of this passage of Scripture. The most important thought is about having the right stand of alcohol, but the majority of the passage does deal with the consequences of alcohol, and here's why. When we understand the consequences of alcohol, it will strengthen our stand. If I've decided I'm going to abstain completely from alcohol, that decision, that conviction that I have will be strengthened when I recognize what could happen if I partake of alcohol. Notice what the Bible teaches here. The Bible teaches us that there are emotional consequences. Look at verse 29. The first two questions, who hath woe, who hath sorrow? What's the answer in verse 30? They that tarry long at the wine. Woe and sorrow are both actually interjections that portray pain and grief. In the original Hebrew language that is used here, it's as if the writer is crying out for the person who tarries long at the wine, and they're crying out in woe, and they're crying out in sorrow. Often alcohol is sought out to mask feelings and escape problems. Many times people who partake of it, that's the reasoning behind it. The issue, though, is that alcohol does not solve the problem. And while you may feel better while drinking or immediately after drinking, the effects are only temporary, and it often leads to more drinking because once that effect wears off, the reason behind the initial use is still there. In other words, if you drink to mask your feelings or you drink to help escape from your problems, when the effects of the alcohol wear off, you're going to go back for more drink because the bad feelings and the problems are still there. They've not been dealt with. In other words, drinking's not a great way to deal with your issues. Continued abuse of alcohol will lead to deeper and longer lasting emotional consequences, not only for the consumer, but for those around the consumer. Secondly, there are relational consequences. Verse 29 goes on and says, who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Contentions, of course, deals with strife and conflict. Babbling has the idea of those who get into an argument, and even beyond that, those who have complaints, even following, because of the issues that their consumption of alcohol has caused. Abuse of alcohol is one of the major issues behind problems within relationships. The scripture here speaks to that here with these words, contentions and babbling. Alcohol can often be the source of marital and familial contention, as well as the cause of alienation from one's nearest friends. That happens so often. Notice, thirdly, there are physical consequences. Verse 29 goes on and says, "Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes?" Verse 32, "At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder." Verse 34, "Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast." Alcohol consumption can have tragic effects upon the body and the mind. That's what these verses talk about. Who hath wounds without cause? That speaks of injuries that cannot be remembered or explained. That often happens with someone who abuses alcohol. Through that consumption of alcohol, something happens. They hurt themselves. They hurt somebody else. And they have no recollection of it. No memory of it. They wake up from the effects of alcohol and see the bruise or see the cut or the gash or the broken limb and wonder, what in the world happened to me? Verse 32 describes that sense that the wine may be smooth going down, but in the end it bites. That's what it's talking about when it says at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Verse 34, that verse that gives that illustration of a ship on the sea, he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or is he that lieth down upon the top of a mast. It has that idea of someone who has abused alcohol and their consumption of it can be in an extremely dangerous situation and not even recognize how dangerous the situation is that they're in. They go on and don't even have any sense of the danger or how great of caution they ought to have. That's all gone because their discernment is gone. It has physical consequences. Fourthly, there are great spiritual consequences. Verse 33. "Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things." What's that talking about? This verse describes alcohol being the force behind doing something that you would not otherwise do. It is no shock, and it's no just opinion or untruth that people will do things immediately after having consumed alcohol that they would never, ever do if they were in complete control of their faculties. Happens all the time. And it's one of the great consequences. And certainly that carries with it great spiritual consequences because you don't get a free pass. Well, it doesn't matter you were drunk or you had consumed alcohol when you did that. You don't get a free pass like that. It has great spiritual consequences. Fifthly, consequence of alcohol is addiction. Addiction. Look at verse 35. The scriptures throughout actually have quite a bit to say about addictions. And here it is about alcohol in verse 35. "They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again." Do you know, this is what the Bible's saying here. Verse 35 is someone coming out of, if you will, a drunken stupor. It's someone coming out of that. And they recognize all of these consequences. Wow, look at that wound, that injury I have. How'd that happen? Man, I must have got that last night while I was partying. I did what? I was where? I was doing what? I've never experienced one, but I've heard that an overhang is no picnic. And yet, here's what the Bible says. That someone who experiences that, you would think, would determine, I'm never going to do that again. I've got to be honest, there are some things that I've done in my life that I walked away and thought about it a little after and determined I will never do that again. But here's the thing with alcohol. Someone can see the consequences that it has brought in their life, but alcohol has such a hold that they wake up going, where can I get my next drink? How soon can I have that again? That's quite a hold. A lot of consequences. You know, you can go through all the statistics, and I could have come tonight and listed all kinds of statistics for you. You know, it's an amazing thing that our human studies, our secular studies, do you know what they all do in relation to alcohol? They do is end up proving that what God already said is true. You do the research, you'll find that secular studies say those who consume alcohol, especially to the point of abuse, they suffer from emotional issues. You do the research and you'll find that they suffer from relational issues. You do the research, you'll find that there are physical consequences. We hear a lot in the news today, don't we, about the opioid crisis? More people die from alcohol consumption every year. Thousands more than opioids. Alcohol is the third highest ranking cause of preventable death in the United States. Research shows it. Research certainly shows, even secularly, that people who abuse alcohol do things that they wouldn't otherwise do. And you hear a lot about addictions. There are even secular programs to help people get out of their alcohol addictions. God said all of it right here. Where's the wisdom? Friends, we need to be wise about alcohol. And here's what I believe. Being wise about alcohol means I'm not going to touch it. I'm not going to mess with it. It's not going to be a part of my life. That's the best road to take as it relates to alcohol. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes, no one looking around? We spoke in this morning's message about the Word of God, how it matures and equips the believer, and how the preacher has the responsibility before God to preach the whole counsel of God and to bring everything that the Word of God is supposed to do. This message was doctrine. It was teaching. And again, I imagine, I could be wrong, but I imagine that most, if not all of us, know where our church stands on this issue. Tonight, I hope you've gleaned a little bit about why we stand where we stand. We're not going to have a come forward invitation tonight, but I wonder still if God is doing something in your heart in relation to this issue. Maybe it's just the need to make a commitment. Maybe there's some young people here tonight that you've grown up in a home where alcohol has not been a part of your home, but you've wondered about it, you've thought about it, what's the big deal with it? Maybe you've listened to the message tonight and God has helped you to understand why your parents and why our church would tell you that we need to stay away from alcohol. It is not your friend. Maybe tonight, as even a young person, you just make a commitment to the Lord and say, Lord, with your grace and with your help, I'm not going to fall to the temptation to try alcohol. You might have some friends who would try to who would try to hand you some and get you to try it. Just make a commitment to the Lord. Lord, I'm not going to even try it. I'm going to stay away from it. I'm making that commitment to you tonight. If God's working in your heart in any ways, I close our service in prayer. I'm just going to ask you right there to talk to the Lord. Maybe you need to make a commitment in that way or renew a commitment. Whatever it may be, you just speak to the Lord in your own heart. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God, and I thank you for its truth. And Lord, how it does teach us about these different issues of life that sometimes we see in our culture and we wonder about. And Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us to come to a right stand biblically, to have the right convictions and understandings of these issues like this issue of alcohol. Help us to have wisdom about it for ourselves and for our families. And Lord, tonight as we come to you in prayer, we are concerned about our nation. Lord, we have seen over these last few days, especially just where we are at as a nation and how it is portrayed and how it is broadcasted everywhere for the entire world to see, and we are burdened about our nation. Help us as believers in Jesus Christ to take the right stance, to approach our lives and our duties as citizens of this nation, and Lord, our even reactions and thoughts about the different things we see in our nation. Help us to approach these things with wisdom as believers in you. You have called us to be wise as children of light. And I pray that that's what we would be. And Lord, we will be sure to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.